Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The former principal of Blatchley Middle School has been indicted on charges of sexual assault. A Sitka grand jury on Friday charged 54-year-old Joe Robidoux on 6 counts of felony sexual assault. He also faces an additional 5 misdemeanor charges for incidents that allegedly happened beginning last May and as recently as January. All of them involved other adults, and prosecutors say students at the school were not involved. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more, but first, a word of caution. The details of this story might be inappropriate for some listeners.
3 people are listed by their initials in the indictment, but are not named directly. All 3 are adult women who, during the times of the alleged incidents, worked at Blatchley Middle School. District officials said 2 are teachers, and the 3rd was a substitute teacher who no longer lives in Alaska. Court documents lay out a variety of charges. They include separate incidents in which Robidoux allegedly exposed himself, touched one woman's breasts, or forced others to touch his genitals. He's also accused of masturbating in front of 2 women in their empty classrooms, and on separate occasions doing the same thing at their homes. In 1 case, at one of the women's homes, he allegedly put his hands around her neck and told her, quote, "This would be a lot easier if you were passed out," unquote. The first accusation came to light 1 week after Robidoux moved from his job at Blatchley to the district office, where he had just been hired as business manager. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw was in Juneau on Monday, but listened in by phone as KCAW interviewed Mary Wagner, the assistant superintendent of schools.
There's a lot of rumors saying that he was promoted because of this, and we found out afterwards, and it's important that the public know that immediately when we found out, we took action to protect our staff and to make sure that he did not have access to the schools anymore.
District officials say Robidoux left the principalship at Blatchley on Friday, January 11th. He began as business manager the following Monday, January 14th. Wagner says at the end of that week, on January 18th, 1 staff member came forward with allegations.
It was the police investigation that uncovered the 2nd staff member and the substitute teacher. So we as a district don't even have a lot of the details. We only know what the 1 person chose to disclose to me. And then with the evidence that was presented just through her sharing, we immediately turned it over to the police for their investigation and then stopped our investigation so that we weren't stepping on the police's toes.
Wagner and Bradshaw both say Robidoux was placed on administrative leave as soon as the allegations were made. He tendered his resignation sometime during that leave, and it became effective March 1st. Sitka attorney Jim McGowan represented Robidoux at his arraignment on Friday. He said his client would not comment to reporters on the allegations. Robidoux will be represented by Juneau attorney Julie Willoughby for further proceedings. She also declined to comment. Officials from the school district and assistant district attorney Gene Seaton stress that, as far as they know, students did not witness any of the alleged incidents. Again, Assistant Superintendent Mary Wagner.
I know that with the 1 staff that did disclose to me, she said that there was no students that were present and that her door was locked.
Her classroom door
was locked, but students were in the building.
The district did not officially say anything to parents or even most staff members before Friday's indictment. Wagner says they told police they would not go public until the police had concluded their investigation. Bradshaw says he expects a message will go home to parents soon from current Blatchley principal Ben White. Wagner says parents with questions should call the district office and talk to her or Bradshaw.
We would be happy to talk to anybody with the information we have, but at this point we don't have a lot of the information either. We are working hard to make sure that the students and the staff are safe at all times. As soon as we heard about this, within hours we took action. And he was not around staff or students as a result of our knowledge as soon as we found out.
Robidoux appeared in court Friday for arraignment. He is free on $7,500 bond. His next court appearance is scheduled for April 11th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
1 person is dead and 2 are injured after a backcountry skiing accident near Haines on Sunday. Alaska State Troopers spokesperson Megan Peters said troopers received a call from Haines Police on Sunday afternoon about an incident in the backcountry. A trooper from Juneau arrived in Haines on Monday to conduct an investigation. The deceased was identified by troopers as Christian Cabanilla. He is listed as a guide for the local heli-skiing company, Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures, on its website. Company President Scott Sundberg said Monday Cabanilla was with the group of five skiers, but was not acting as a lead guide of the group on Sunday. He was skiing with the tour for recreation. The two injured skiers were in stable condition Monday morning. Sundberg said the group was skiing on slopes near an area known as Kicking Horse Valley, just a few miles west of Haines. Sundberg said the death and injury were not caused by an avalanche. Unconfirmed reports say the skiers were caught in a cornice collapse. Sundberg said he was meeting with state troopers Monday morning and would issue more information and an official statement later in the day. Cabanilla's biography on the company's website says he's an international backcountry snowboard guide working in Alaska, Chilean, Patagonia, and Antarctica with more than a decade of experience in the Alaska heli-ski industry. It says he is also a commercial helicopter pilot in Alaska. This is Haines' third heli-skiing fatality in 2 years. Last year, a guide and skier were killed in a March avalanche while skiing with a different company. The biggest construction crane in Alaska is now assembled and operating in Sitka's Blue Lake Dam, and the public will be able to take a look soon. In February, city engineer Dean Orbison delivered a presentation on the hydro expansion project to a large audience at Sitka Chamber of Commerce luncheon. He was pretty enthusiastic about the size of some of the equipment needed to raise the dam. In this case, a crane that could span the entire gorge.
It'll set on the right abutment here, and it will reach all the way across the dam to the left abutment. It is a huge, it's like something I've never seen before. Anyway, they're putting it up there, putting it together up there right now.
The crane has since been completed. According to Jessica Stockel with the contractor McMillan LLC, the crane itself weighs about 2 million pounds. It has an overall length of 364 feet. The main boom can lift and lower 47,500 pounds. In order to carry that load across the canyon, the crane has 660,000 pounds of counterweight. The crane is easily visible from the trail around Beaver Lake, which will remain open during construction. Stockel says McMillan is also going to offer the first of several public tours of the project on Sunday, March 17th, departing in buses from Harrigan Centennial Hall. For information about how to sign up for that tour, or to see a picture of the huge crane, or to listen to Dean Orbison's entire chamber presentation, including a slideshow, visit our website, kcaw.org. March is National Developmental Disability Awareness Month. To support the cause, Kathy Snow, author of Disability is Natural, will be giving a talk in Sitka today at Kiku Shaheen from 6 to 8 p.m. The Alaska Autism Resource Center in Anchorage collaborated with the Sitka School District and the Center for Community to bring the nationally renowned speaker to Sitka. Snow has a son who was born with cerebral palsy, a condition that's caused by injuries or abnormalities in the brain, usually as a baby grows in the womb. For the past 20 years, she has given presentations across the U.S. and Canada that teach parents how to raise independent, healthy kids with disabilities. Carrie Reed is an assistant executive director for the Center of Community in Sitka. She says the nonprofit supports people who are affected by disabilities across Alaska.
It gives power back. It gives choice. It gives control back to the families, back to the children, back to the adults, the individuals with the disabilities. It's really giving the person some tools and assistance to help them live and really allowing them the freedom to dictate what they want to do with their lives to the best of their abilities.
The Center for Community provides a variety of services for people affected by disabilities. They help people get jobs in the community and teach people how to interact in social situations. They even provide respite to caregivers. Most of the programs are funded by grants from the state. Alaska state law defines disability as a person who has a severe chronic disability attributable to a mental or physical impairment that occurs before the age of 22 and is likely to continue indefinitely. Reed encourages people living with a disability or those providing care for someone with a disability to call the Center for Community at 747-6960, extension 18. If you don't qualify for the services the nonprofit provides, they will refer you to another agency. Kathy Snow, author of Disability is Natural, will be speaking about how to raise children with disabilities as part of the National Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. It will be at Kiku Shaheen tonight, from 6 to 8 p.m. Scientists have carbon dated a human skull found near Wrangell last year. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has more.
Last October, Vina Stowe and her family were trout fishing and moose hunting near Government Slough, about 5 miles from Wrangell. While walking through the forest, she found what appeared to be a human skull on the ground. It's usually best to leave remains where they are rather than moving them. It can be considered disrespectful to disrupt them, and it's very important for officials to know exactly where they're found. However, Stowe knew the area was prone to flooding, so she made the decision to carefully bring the skull back to Wrangell. She photographed the area and pinpointed the skull's location on Google Maps. She handed the remains over to police, who notified the Forest Service. The skull has now been carbon dated. It was found to be 1,080 years old. When remains are determined to be Native American or Alaska Native, officials must follow certain rules in handling them. These are laid out in the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. But remains can also give invaluable information about what was happening a long time ago in Southeast Alaska. The story of this skull is one in which politics, tradition, respect, history, and archaeology go hand in hand. In Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
A manufacturer is recalling a breakfast cereal because the label does not list almonds as an ingredient. The Food for Life Baking Company is recalling Ezekiel Sprouted Grain Cereal in the original Golden Flax and Cinnamon Raisin varieties. The cereal was shipped between November 20th and February 11th. Almonds are an allergen, and the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation says people sensitive to almond protein can suffer a moderate or acute life-threatening reaction if they eat food with almonds. For more information on the recalled cereal, it's available on the DEC website. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Today in Sitka, expected to be sunny with highs around 43, and mostly clear tonight, lows around 32.